Okay, welcome to the seminar. Thank you very much for joining. It's a pleasure to welcome Helen today. Let me start with introducing Helen. She has worked at SDFC for 12 years, initially as a scientist at RAL Space, working on Earth observation instrumentation. Around 4 years ago, she moved into continuous improvement, first at RAL Space and then across wider SDFC. Her day-to-day work involves working with teams to understand how their work is currently done, helping to unearth where processes or activities aren't currently working well, and encouraging teams to come up with measured solutions to save themselves time and effort and reduce frustration. So let's welcome Helen. And over to you.
Thank you very much for the introduction. Just press play so I have a timer and I don't get fit in, Jen. Thank you very much for the introduction. That's really good. And thank you for having me along today. I'm going to talk about continuous improvement within SDFC. I'm going to do a little bit first around what is continuous improvement, sort of history, some of the concepts around it, because it's not necessarily familiar to everybody. I'll touch a bit on continuous improvement within SDFC RI and what you might see here around the organization. But the most interesting thing, I hope, for you and for me is the case study. So we've got lots of projects and initiatives going on in departments across the organization. What I wanted to do today was to introduce you to some of the people who've been leading those initiatives across these departments, but also some of the tools they use, so that you've got a little example of some tools that you can take away to start continually improving the work that you do as you lead, and finally got a how you can get involved section at the end as well. So if I can ask in the room, I'm really sorry on that. I can't see. So can I ask in the room, does anyone have any experience of continuous improvement? Have you heard anything about it before in the organization?
Oh, yeah, I'm on the OTAP,
oh,
which is the Travel Improvement, Continuous Improvement Program.
But generally, I'm going to start a very sort of entry level then, if there's not too much experience of it within the room. So, what is continuous improvement? There are lots of lovely stories and examples that you can use to describe what continuous improvement is, but this is one of the ones that we like to share the most. It's basically talking about having the right tools that are in the right state to do the job at the time that you want to do them. So there's a couple of quotes around this. So the one from Abraham Lincoln at the bottom, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I will spend the first four sharpening the axe." It's about making sure you've got the right tools in place to do the job that you need to do at the time, but also taking time to have those tools. We must never become too busy sawing to take time to sharpen the saw. So this is fundamentally what the concept of continuous improvement is. I want to go a little bit into the history because it's quite a new thing within SDFC and UKRI, but it's been around for more than a century now. So continuous improvement started off with the Industrial Revolution. People started thinking, how can we get more out of these factories that we now have? F.W. Taylor in the 1900s brought in standardization, looking at aligning what people are doing on the ground with organizational goals to make things a bit more effective. There were some studies in the 1920s about how the human factors interact with that. It's not all just about the work, it's about how people interact with the work as well. Moving forward through the 1940s and 50s, you're starting to get lean, which is a word you might hear around continuous improvement within manufacturing facilities and things like that. I'm told to ignore this one. And then in the 1980s, we've got Lean Six Sigma as well. So starting to think about how we can reduce variation in tasks that we do and identify problems that way. So today, we've got lots of these different theories that have developed over the past 100 years or so, and I'll introduce this a little bit more later on. First of all, I kind of wanted to ask you about work. Are any of these things familiar to you? When you come into work, does everything go really smoothly for you all of the time? Do you have frustrations? Might there be confusion? No one seems to know what's going on and whose job it is to do the thing. There might be some hassle. They're not always literal fires to put out, but there might be things that just need to be done really urgently right now. There might always be a bit too much work within the system. You might start to see complaints, so I think things we need to talk about here as well. everyone experiences these things in their day-to-day work. It's not unique to SGPC, it's not unique to UK Advice, it's everywhere. And continuous improvement helps us to understand what the underlying problems are, and then allows us to look at fixing those things. Small changes that we can all make to our day-to-day work can have a really big impact. So we could all save ourselves 5 minutes every day of that task that's taking us an hour to do. Across an organisation of 3,000 people across the year, that's a huge amount of time that we can think about. So even these really small things that we can do to improve that might seem insignificant to you at the time can actually make a really big difference if we're all going about it. Continuous improvement is about fixing those things. So again, lots of lovely continuous improvement memes out there. Too busy for improvements? No, we're too busy. Well, keep our square wheels, thanks. We don't want your ramp. Process improvement is key. So all work is a process. So we struggle with that a little bit sometimes in this organisation. So every piece of work that you do has an input or multiple inputs, some activity that you do in the middle, and then some outputs as well. And that might be then part of a big process. Those outputs might pass on to somebody else. So I've got some very simple examples of what processes are. So it might be managing emails, running a training course like this one. I went through a process to get here in the middle of it now. There will be a process that I follow up with at the end as well. Making coffee, doing root cause analysis for accidents, saving things like that. In the culture of continuous improvement in an organisation, what we're looking to do is to develop a shared understanding as a team of the current best way that we do that process, and then look to find a better way to do that. Understand what the problems are and what it is that we can do to incrementally improve that. The really key thing though is that it's the people who are doing the work know the work best, and therefore are the ones who are best placed to solve those problems that you come across. It's not up to me, my team, to come in and say, here's your solution, we're going to solve your problems for you. What we can do is to provide training tools and access to coaching so that you can think about how to solve your problems in the best way possible. So I wanted to just call out, Brian's raised this already, the difference between continuous improvement initiatives and the big change projects and programs you can see. You can see this is a bit old, so we'll ignore this part. But you've got your big change projects and programs that we're all aware of within the organisation that come through. But in between those, we need to do some optimization. How it is that we're working within those big new systems. So our continuous improvement initiatives and projects can be just that 5 minutes a day. We're just spending a little bit of time thinking about how it is we do our work today, and is that a little bit better than we did it yesterday. We need both of those to be able to improve in the long term. So now I'm going to go on to continuous improvement in STFC and UKRI. So in the workplace in general, we're trying to build a continuous improvement culture where it's okay to identify the fact that there are frustrations and problems in the workplace, and people speak up about them and talk about them and make them visible, because that's really important. We're not doing things perfectly all the time. We want to see a culture where small improvements are happening often, but really importantly, we want to see decisions being made using data. So one of the key things that we do with continuous improvement is we look at the situation as it is at the moment, we provide a measure or a baseline of what that is. We then make an improvement, and then we go back to that data later. We want to look at what the difference is between the new situation and what it was before. Have we actually improved it? Can we put some data around that to say what it is that we've done and how effective or how effective it's made? We want to see teams that are learning and able to adapt. Communication is key. We work in silos quite a lot, so it's really key that we can share the learnings across STFC as well. And that's something that we do as a continuous improvement function. So if you're doing an improvement, you might hear us come along and say, oh, this team over here have done something similar. I can talk to them about their experiences. And there's also a culture where everyone's involved. It's not just something that people are grown to do. It's not just something that senior leaders should be built throughout the organisation. You work in a scientific organisation, right? We're already doing continuous improvement in our day-to-day work that we do. We're experimenting, we're iterating, and we're learning from what's gone before us in science, engineering, and technology that we're doing. The opportunity with continuous improvement is to apply that similar mindset, not just to what we do and what our outputs are, but to how we go about doing it. That's fine. You will see throughout this that I have borrowed, so not duplicating effort, a lot of slides from the UKRI continuous improvement team. This is one of them.
they'll be peppered through. You'll see them, that links to the CI sites and things. So when you can access the slides on the EPO, you'll have all the links to the CI sites and materials and information you can get. So across UKRI, slightly older now, having a new strategy coming out. So, but this is sort of the current statement of the 22 to 27 strategy. We're looking at a culture mindset where working that seeks small incremental changes to the products we create, services we provide, and to our internal processes as well, to make us more effective. To do that, we need an empowered workforce, which is creative, inclusive, collaborative, and courageous. I wanted to talk a bit about this one in more detail because this is really important. The culture, the mindset, and the way of working within that strategy are all completely dependent on one another. At an organisational level, we need a culture where continuous improvement is the way we go about doing things. We're always improving, we're always striving to do the work that we do a little bit better. At an individual level, so for each of us individually, we've also got that mindset as well. And then at a way of working, we're building in those tools. But without having those tools, we can't have that mindset. Without having that mindset, we can't have that culture, and vice versa as well. So it's really important that we as a continuous improvement team, providing everyone within the organisation with the tools and the coaching and support that they need to be able to develop this culture. So within TFC continuous improvement, our ambition is to inspire and encourage more people across the organisation to improve the status quo, to make work better for them. And this is our kind of visual strategy, I suppose. We've got three strands of work that we do, all underpinned by comms and engagement with what we're doing today. Developing continuous improvement capability, we can provide training and coaching and all the disciplines and things that I'll get onto a little bit later on. We encourage teams and we work directly with teams to scope and tackle improvements, making sure the right people are in the room and making sure we're reducing that duplicate effort that I talked about earlier. And we're also embedding an improvement culture by celebrating the successes that people have when they're making improvements to their day to day. And we're working to make sure that continuous improvement is very encouraged by the leadership at all levels within the organisation as well. Literally stolen from you, Carol. Continuous improvement strategy is about looking for what it is that we do. So looking at our policies, our processes, our standard operating procedures, and understanding what the current state is. We want to understand that, so we want to underpin that with data. So we understand what it is we're doing. How do we understand how well we're doing that at the moment? So there's lots of continuous improvement tools that you can use to help you understand how the work that you're doing is performing at the moment. And then once you've figured out how you're performing at the moment and what areas might need to be improved, you can do your targeted continuous improvement activities. So that's when you might do something like a training course or something like that to give you the skills that you need to improve that local area. And I'll get on to the different levels of intervention and things that we've got later on in the talk as well. All of these sections are underpinned by really good knowledge and resources. So say we care IT have a lot of that available for all of the councils that we use with a lot of their materials. They've also got a continuous improvement network where you can come together with like-minded people who wish to improve the way that they're going about doing their work within that network as well. So I'm going to come back to this flower diagram a bit later on. Which one of these is right? So we've got three things: continuous improvement, all of these different theories and names that you might hear bandied around. Which one should we use? Within UKRI, and therefore within STFC, we use a best of breed blend. We pick the most relevant tools and techniques for the size and shape and style of the problem it is that we're encountering in what we're doing. There's lots of information about these things available on the CI site, to be honest. So I encourage you to reach out to one of the continuous improvement leads, either myself or to Kieran, because we can help talk you through the standard problem and see what it is that you could apply for more. But there are key principles which underpin all of those different theories, which are far more about how it is you go about doing a continuous initiative. One of the key ones is bullet focus on the customer. This language comes from external to STFC, but it's who's the end user of whatever process it is that you're doing. It's really important that you're delivering what they need at the time that they need it in the best way possible for that. So looking at identifying and understanding how the work gets done, mapping out the process, how does that process work?
This one's really important. So looking at, are there parts of that process that aren't actually delivering anything for that end user of whatever it is we're doing? Can we get rid of those from our process? Or do we need them for compliance, for example? We need to keep them in there, but we're identifying that they're not necessarily creating that value for the customer. So it's having a look at those things with that data lens and saying, what is it that we need within this process? So is there anything? We're looking at data, managing by fact, using variation. Keeping the seller involved in the process. It's really important that you don't just go away and say, well, I can see this problem with this, and I'm going to improve that. What you may see as a problem there may have extreme downstream effects depending on your process. It's really important to get everyone involved who's involved in the process. And then we're looking at undertaking improvement activity in a systematic way. So that's going back to these theories where we're saying there are ways that have been proven throughout the past 100 years in lots of different workplaces where you can tackle problems using these techniques. So we're using those systematic ones in order to do it. And across STFC today, we've had a lot of success by deploying these methods. So we've had more than 600 people across STFC been creating continuous improvement basics, which is a free two-access course available through the UKRI team. We've also had an additional 100 people who've done what we call practitioner training. So this is, and I'll get onto the training later on. But all of the things that we're talking about here are things that have been done in departments by practitioners who have been working toward an obligation by delivering their improvement initiative. So you can see that we've got a breadth here. This isn't continuous improvement programs we've run for 5 years. An awful lot of different departments have been involved to different extents as well. So some departments have put cohorts through the training program in order to deliver a series of improvements that they've come up with at a strategic level. And in some departments, we have people doing this sort of independently. So we've got ones and twos within departments, just looking at a specific process that they want to improve as part of their day-to-day work. So I can pick out some of the cohorts. So we've had estates and ISIS and scientific computing and also Bolby Mine. They had the UKRI team go visit to deliver the training back in November last year. Robin really enjoyed seeing some of the a lot of the visual management that they have in place at Bolby, which is a key part to use improvement as well. In some of the other places, we've had, so UKTC have been doing a lot of work recently looking at their key business processes and introducing quality management systems. So looking at goods in, non-conformances and goods out. And they've recently, last month, done a large 5S activity. I'll get into what 5S is later as well. But what I really wanted to show on this slide is just the breadth of activity that's going on across STFC and the reach that we've had to some of the benefits that have been delivered as well. The most interesting thing for me though is really learning about what the tangible improvements are that people are doing across the organization. So I wanted to present three case studies to you where I'm going to introduce the case study, introduce one of the tools that the practitioner used during that improvement to help to get them along the way, and then sort of talk about what the results are as well. What I'm hoping is that this gives you these three tools that you can take away and start using in your day-to-day work if you wish. So the first case study that I want to talk about comes from the Country Centre. And this improvement was done by Vigipnath, who works in the portfolio management centre. And they identified that they had a problem when they were doing projects. So it was taking anywhere from 2 days to 8 weeks for the project managers to identify whether they had suitable resource available on to work on the new projects that were coming in. But the decision making was subjective and it wasn't data driven. And you can see here that what they decided to do was have a look across a number of projects. So they had new projects come into the portfolio and they were looking across those projects to say how long does it actually take things to do. So you can see the average of 4 weeks, but anything up to 8 down to So the tool that they used to identify what root cause was in this case was a fishbone diagram. You may have seen them or come across it. What this tool allows you to do is to have a look at whatever causes you think may be contributing to that issue. And it takes you through it in a systematic way. So you're talking about things that may be contributing to the issue, like policies, processes. Is there a problem with that? Is it being applied properly? What can we understand from there? And you can talk about data and information. Do we have the right data in place at the right time to be able to do this? You can talk about systems, technology, and equipment. So do we have the right tools available to us at the right time to be able to carry out the process that we need to? And you can also talk about people and behaviour. And so that's talking about things like, do we have the right training in place to support the people to be able to do this? So you can group those problem causes into categories to make sure that you've not missed anything. You do this as a team. So it's not just one person's view of what that problem might be, or learning from all of the different stakeholders within that process. And it just helps you to get to, it helps you to unearth all of the possible causes of a problem, but you then start to see, oh, maybe we've got something down here in the data information that's maybe underpinning an awful lot of those other causes. And that's where you start to identify what the root cause might be. So when Vidya and the team did this, they decided to put in place a transparent view of skills across the participating team. So they ran this as a demonstration within a small group, and they developed that view of the skills across that team, which supported the internal skills outcomes. They then developed a standard operating procedure. So the project managers took that internal skills database, identified staff who had the skills to be able to do the work that's coming in, and also looked at the staff allocation system at the same time. They were able to confirm those resource plans that they came up with the group and team leads, and also with the individual staff as well. So the process became an awful lot more transparent. So overall, the average processing time for resourcing reduced from an average of 4 weeks down to 2 days. And the effort that the project managers were having to put into that process, which previously had involved an awful lot of email back and forth, reduced from 2 days per project to around 1 hour. In addition, staff were able to see that the internal skills database was made open, so staff could see what skills other staff had. And you could also then use that database to do things like skills gaps analysis and personalized training and things like that as well. So there were lots of different benefits that resulted from this project, but just looking at initially reducing the time of doing that process. So number two, this one comes from Aztec. So IO was the yellow belt practitioner in this case. IO presented actually at our continuous improvement celebration event last November, and I've got a link to the recording in the slide. So rather than me doing a really bad job of explaining IO's project to you, you can take my summary and then go and learn more about it directly from IO. So the cryogenic inventory storage system wasn't sufficient. It's taking as long as 2 to 3 hours weekly for people to find components for their regular tasks, not even the one-off tasks they needed to do. This was for the regular work. So they decided to, so they took some images of their before as part of their measure phase of their continuous improvement. They also used a survey. So when people started looking for things within the lab that they needed to do the work that they needed to do, they measured the current time that it was taking to find components and decided to apply method called 5S, which is another of our continuous improvement tools. 5S is used to establish a really well-organized physical or digital working environment. It removes waste and can improve productivity and also help with well-being as well for staff. We've got some images here on the right hand side of the things that you may see. So, if anyone's got a desktop that looks like this, I've been guilty of this in the past. This was an image of the mezzanine in our space before they did a similar activity there. And what this system allows you to do is to get to a workspace where you turn up every day and everything is where you expect it to be. And there is a defined process, so other people use that workspace as well. Everything is still defined in the right places. You to be able to just turn and do the job that you need to do. So the 5S is, it's an incredibly bad translation from Japanese, but this is the English translation of what they've used. So what you do is, first of all, you sort your needed items from your unneeded items, and then you organise everything that remains into a system that's easy to work with. And the important thing here is, into a system that's easy to put. A lot of the time we get feedback and say, well, just had a tidy up, haven't they? But the important thing about it is actually having that system that allows you to sustain that as well, sustain that new working environment, but also then to continually improve on that too. It's important to clean up and make that a part of what it is that you're going about doing every day. And you schedule then activities in the future so that you can do your sort and your setting order on a regular basis. A really important part of this is leadership's thoughtfulness as well. You might have heard the phrase Gemba walks, which is something that can come up in the literature quite frequently. And that's where leadership will walk around the shop floor, find out what's actually going on in the working areas and help to unblock problems. And have you thought about maybe changing the position of that so that people are walking so far, that kind of thing. You can just get that fresh view on it as well. So getting that input is really important. And then finally, sustain it. Keep following those steps 1 to 4. Throughout time so that you can sustain that best way of working, but also look for ways to improve it going forward as well. So going back to the lab in Daresbury, so by focusing on the users, the people who actually went there to collect the bits and pieces that they needed to deal with, a system was defined so they could better order and locate components in their storage area. So they defined 2 different storage areas then, the laboratory. They had 1 for the things that we need every day to do the jobs that we need to do, and then you got 1 for long-term storage as well. One of the key things that they chose to do was to use some clear boxes that they had around every anyway, so that you can just see what's there. It's really easy to see what's there. This team, it sounds like a really small thing, right? This team estimated that the amount of time that they saved, not certain components, actually came to around £28,000 of staff time a year, and not spending that time doing that making redeploy that time during the work that they actually came to us to do. Also really reduce the frustration that they had, and I spoke a bit about travelling those shorter distances to find them relevant. As I said, I've done a really bad job probably explaining what they went through, the process there. I did a really good talk at the Continuous Improvement Celebration, which is available on the source, so you can have a look at that. Offer timestamp in there for you as well, if you want to have a look at that later. Moving on, so finally, case study number 3, I want to talk about processes, making a process clearer or faster. So this was a problem that was identified within the ISIS target services area. They look after cycling of waste, particularly radioactive waste. They introduced a new radioactive waste portal whereby in order to be able to recycle more of their waste, they needed additional information about one of the items that were coming into the service area. But for one specific type of waste, which is generated frequently in cleaner environments, the soft waste, such as gloves and new coats and all of those types of things, they were being bagged up, and then 30 of those bags were being compacted into a drum. But the labelling was happening for each of those individual bags, and then the dose count was actually only valid on the drum itself. So what that team did was map the process, and they made sure that they mapped the process with all of the different teams involved. So this isn't just the health physics team where Jane sits, so she's the person who led the improvement, but it was also with the waste teams as well. So looking at all of the different steps of that process and who interacts with it, so they build up a full picture of all of the things they're doing. So you can see here the process as it was. And they identified a couple of things when they mapped this process. So at these points where the stars happen, all of the previous steps in the process are made null by the fact that you're then carrying out this step. So they identified an awful lot of points within that process that they were able to identify and then get rid of. So the final tool I wanted to introduce for you today is Tim Woods. This is another slide again from EKRI training materials, but it goes through lots of really nice examples that you might come across in your day-to-day work as well. So you can identify waste in lots of different ways. So you've got a couple which are about movement. So you've got motion and transport, so that's movement of stuff. Movement of people as well. There's some really nice things that you can do where people are moving around sites to determine whether the instruments that they're using are in quite the right order for the project work that they're doing, for example. We've seen that in the technology department as well. There's things around numbers of files that might be waiting for you to do things, waiting for approvals and signatures. We've spent quite a lot of time waiting for other people to do bits so that we can carry on with our work as well. There might be overproduction, creating more things than necessary, making extra copies, for example, lots of people onto the email trains, processing more than is necessary, obtaining lots and lots of signatures and approvals when maybe one would have done, re-entering data manually, using lots of different applications for the same information. I think we're probably guilty of that across accuracy. There are a couple of others. So defects, this is where things are just going wrong. So that's a waste because you've put effort into creating whatever thing you're doing or doing the process step that you're doing, and it's just not meeting the standard or containing errors. So you can do things there to try and improve that. And then under or overutilizing people as well. So do people have the right skills to do it? Do we have people who aren't trained to do the job? Do we have very highly skilled people doing things that they shouldn't necessarily be doing? So there's lots of different ways that you can identify. What Jane did was to go through that process step by step, and she's got really good examples for official management. So what she did was she went around, she took a picture of each of those steps of the process. So from collecting the waste in the cages all the way through to having it in the drums that they needed at the end. And you can see here that she's used some visual management processes. And that's just identifying which of these steps don't happen anymore. So by using this Tim Woods example, they were able to go through and say, we don't need to do these steps of this process anymore. So the new process that they had here is a lot fewer steps than the one that we showed previously, and by working with those teams, they made sure that everyone's still getting all of the information that they need at the point in the process that they need it, but they're just following a much more simplified process. So you can find out more about Jane's work by looking at the posters that we're going to need continuous improvement event last year as well, and Jane's just had an article recently as well, start of April, where she talks about the improvement and the impact it's had on teams as well. So I mentioned with Jane's work about visual management tools, so I just wanted to send those in a little bit more detail. It's another key part of continuous improvement and some things that you might see around. Dashboards can be really useful, so this is looking at the data, and what you can use for dashboards is what's actually changing for us. You don't necessarily need to be looking at the raw data, you need to look at, well, how are we compared to last month, how are we compared to last year, are we moving in the right direction? Look at the exceptions as well. Visual processes, as I said, Jane did a really good example of that, just saying these are steps that we do not need in our process, so we can have a look at how we get rid of those. The process mapping is really important, and it really unearths for where you're working in big teams, I guess, like the OTAP project, the process there. Mapping the process out reveals an awful lot of things that you wouldn't necessarily know if your activity in the process was in the beginning. There's an awful lot of other things that happen within that process that you're not necessarily. The other thing that you can do is work with things like Kanban boards, and that can allow you to make work visible. So it allows you to see what it is your team is working on. It allows you to see what the different priorities of the team are. It allows you, if you've come to a point where you're waiting, maybe things to happen, you can pull some of the work through that's important to your team. Might not have been your top priority, but you can pump other people on the team to get that done as well. And there are lots of freely available apps that you can use to do that kind of thing as well. So finally, I wanted to finish up with how you can get involved in continuous improvement. To say we're aiming to embed this improvement culture across the organisation. We want everyone to be thinking about how can I improve what I'm doing by 5 minutes every day so that I can see that cumulative impact of that over the course of my own working year, but across the team, department, the organisation. One of the things that we do to share the good news about continuous improvements is to host the continuous improvement celebration event. This happens in October or November every year. It's in person generally at Rowell and at Daresbury, and got a virtual opportunity as well, so please do come along to that this year to find out about the improvements people have been making to all sorts of different processes and work areas across the organisation. As I say, I've barely been able to scratch the surface today in terms of the number of things that people have done since the programme started. One of the things that we're really pleased to be seeing is that not only are people kind of doing this and going through the training and getting that benefit for themselves personally, but then we're seeing those people adapt the way that they're going about doing their work as well. So we're seeing lots of pop-up improvements across the organisation where they're saying, oh, I went and I learned a bit about this tool, maybe in the CI network or perhaps in a training session, and they've gone and they've applied that tool with more of this, and we'll see the benefits of that. Where do we want to get to? So I'll come back again to slide that we had at the start, speaking of other problems, small improvements that are just happening, decisions are being made with that underlying data that's actually helping you to see whether it's improvement or not and how much of an improvement it's been and that everything's involved. We know we're all already applying these principles and the work and science that we do, but you can have a look at the other things that underpin the work that we do, our processes, like our meetings, our workspaces, and how it is we actually go about doing the job that we do. That's what we wanted. We want them to be applying these techniques to make the work that we do that bit more. So how can you contribute to continuous improvement within STFC and Care Life? Get involved and talk to us. Look for opportunities within your day-to-day work. Something like Tim Woods has piqued your interest today and you've seen something on there that says, oh yeah, I get a lot of duplicate emails. Maybe we could do something about that. Have a think about it, talk to people about it, and give it a try. See if there's something that you can do to improve your day-to-day that might help to impact other people in a positive way as well. Maintain that positive and open attitude to continuous improvement. Maybe promote continuous improvement with your colleagues, promote the training within your teams. UKR ICI Basics is currently on a bit of a break while they're redoing all of their training materials, but we have access to that stuff. So if you wanted to do spoke training sessions within teams, within VPD, that's something you can talk to me about as well. We can get that going for you in the shorter term. Make use of the resources that are available to you and just get involved. Start or get involved in some of the initiatives and projects. This is my main improvement. I came to a slide today and didn't quite have time to finish it off. It's very busy. I don't like it very much. I will change it, but a learning support offer. I talked a bit earlier on about how it's really important to have the right tool for the right job. There are lots of different complexities and scopes of problems that you can have, from knowing what the root cause is and knowing what the solution should be. Just get on and do it. The support that you can use, there's different reporting mechanisms that you can use just to make sure you've got that check and balance in there. But just go ahead and do it. You can get more information about the types of things that you can use for low touch information gathering on the UKR ICI side. And that goes all the way through. So you might not know what the root cause of your problem is. It might not be something that turns up too often, but it's turning up frequently enough to be an annoyance or a frustration. You can use things like structured problem solving. We've got training available, sort of one-day training courses for people to use these types of techniques. And this is used, it can be used in sort of incident investigation safety things. It can be used in trying to understand lessons learned from projects and things like that. These are the types of tools you might use for that. They're a little bit more light touch. And then you've got the gold standard, which is the Lean Six Sigma, where you don't know what your root causes are, and they're having quite a high impact on the business. So this is our training mechanism where people do a couple of days for a yellow belt or up to 5 days for a green belt. And that's really looking into how you can understand business processes and what it is you need to do to help to solve them. So as I say, we've got specific support available across all of these three things. I really recommend UKRI Continuous Improvement Basics training. It's a half a day. You get so many more tools than I've had time to do this morning. And it just gives you that little bit of grounding in how to go about doing these types of improvements as well. We've got a separate offer as well. We've got an additional offer. So things that can support all types of improvement activities. We've got access to agile coaches, so we can start to work with dependencies and different types of ways of working in project teams. We've got access to facilitation and leading change training, if that's something that's of interest to you, if you're going into slightly bigger pieces of work and require that type of thing. And the STFC CI team can also help you with benefits, certification and support as well, following the STFC. Fundamentally, just come past this. It's anything more than about you want to get involved in continuous improvement. We'll get to that. This slide reiterates everything you just said. This is the only differences here are they host all the materials and things that I spoke about today. It's not too much for the duplicating them. So you can access the EcoWrite to use the site and their tools and templates library. Just gives you a bit more information on how to use things like objects today. They also have their continuous improvement network, so that meets once every 3 months. You don't need to have any experience in continuous improvement, just an interest in trying to make it work better. And that network shares knowledge and skills and experience and learns from each other. So I ask of you before we leave today, so we've got support and we've got budget to train, coach your teams and individuals to make improvements in the local area. It's really fundamental not about us coming to do improvement to you. It's about providing the support so that you can figure out what the best way is to improve your own processes. It's tailored to your work. So it sounds like an additional ask. We've got some training that will take time, but what you get back from that upfront investment in time in training people is people who are equipped to be able to see things that need to be improved and improving day on day. And it's making the work more effective, reducing frustration, not just for those individuals, but for wider teams as well. And it should improve the work for the team of that person. So I've got a few final questions or challenges. As you leave today, you consider these things. What frustrations do we have? What problems do we have that we might have fixed? Maybe more than once, but that keep coming back. And might these types of things benefit from using some of these tools and techniques that I've presented to you today? How can you get involved? So that's the end of my presentation section. I just wanted to introduce Kieran as well. So Kieran and I job share. We both do this for about half our time each. So Kieran works at Daresbury Lab. We have split the departments roughly by site, but we also work with the other sites as well. So, and we have shared mailbox, so you may hear from Kieran rather than me if you use the CI email address to contact. But otherwise, I think I've spoken too fast. Thank you very much for your attention. And I'm happy to take any questions from you. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a very clear presentation. Any questions?
Yes.
It's been more a call. Thank you for a lovely talk. I think in one sense, I hope this is sort of preaching to the choir here, because I mean we're all part of this, as most of us in our process, and we are continuously upgrading our tech, we're continuously improving things. We don't call it that, but I mean, like, I mean, yeah. And we're also the tool developers of bespoke things, so we're always, I mean, right now I'm upgrading system, various systems, we see these things, so I'm not sure, in some sense, kind of already doing this, so I'm not sure how we're investing. Most of my personal frustrations, things that could use, is actually not an experiment, because again, we work in a very large community of like 3,000, 5,000 people, things, and they're it's dealing with STFC is where things don't continuously improve. I think like fusion, things like that. So in one sense, our problems here are the ones which are from STFC policy, which seem to make our lives more difficult. It's more of a comment. I'm not sure how to take away from this because I feel we're already doing this, but I'm not sure how we can change STFC policies like fusion and things like that, which is the problem.
Yeah, so I'd agree. So I pitch this with that scientific method up front, because I know that an awful lot of us are thinking in that way about what it is that we're up to against. All we can do from that side is to feed through the frustrations that are coming out. And the more that we can do that, work with the teams that are in this process, that's more better to help all of us. But I don't think we can all necessarily say that everything that we do locally as teams is necessarily at its best either. So it's just having an open mind to where could we improve, what could we do better, and we do our bit better, and fix our piece of the puzzle. So that, and if everybody then is thinking about how they can fix their piece of the puzzle, overall it's not necessarily important.
That's not necessarily our soul. Oh, yeah, just no, I absolutely agree. I think we all agree. I think this is our mindset. We're all driven to improve things and set up new research rather than boring questions like I'm doing. So I think we all agree, just how we look at
it. I think I agree. I think that this is a very important thing for STFC. But I remember when I tried to engage with this when it first started, I think I can't remember her first name, is it Jane Price? So I put forward lots of proposals, had a good conversation with Jane, and they were all ignored. And the fundamental problem was, A, there were no quick wins. That was the word that was used. And secondly, there was an SDSC refusal almost to invest now in order to save money later. And so those frustrations were, from 5 years ago, are still here. And nothing has been addressed. And I don't know if you feel that that has changed in any way, or if there's a way we can change that attitude.
Well, there's an opportunity, I think, at the moment, within the environment that we're sitting in, to be able to make some of those frustrations better heard. We do have, I wouldn't be sitting here if we weren't funded. We didn't have a budget from DB to provide this training coaching, but it's very much at the moment, how can we spread the word and get everyone within the organisation thinking about how they can improve their own day-to-day, as well as these big things that need to be fixed as well. We can fix at STFC level, it can be different as well, because there's also the constraints that come from work within ECRI and government and all the different players that are on that too. So it's figuring out where we can best use the effort of the people that we have within the organisation to fix what's really on the top. And how can we get support from wider across the organisation, which is part of our goal as well, as to what these key processes that really aren't working for people.
Yeah, I think that point you just made, it's not our processes, I think, within PBD that's sort of the main problem, it's using someone else's. And I feel that when you go to them and say there's a problem with your process, the response is, bit negative. They won't accept that, even if you offer to help. It seems like, how dare you say our process isn't perfect.
No,
and I haven't really felt that that has changed in some places. Some places, I'm sure some are very good, but
yeah, so part of the challenge in what I do, part of what my day-to-day is going out to saying these are processes that are not helping people. What can we do together to make that better? But also, how can we make sure we're not improving those in isolation and we're getting that feeding from people who are users of those processes to try to make them better going forward?
Any other questions on Zoom? May I ask about the training, just the variety of training that you mentioned on the slide? So I'm wondering whether that's tailored to the specific group and that's not part of the compulsory training. How we navigate that?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, of course. It's a dreadful spot. Continuous improvement basics training, CISA is currently on hold. They are developing, UKRI developing a new suite of bespoke to UKRI and councils continuous improvement training. So that's going through all of the levels from the basics through the yellow belt and the green belt. They recently launched the yellow belt, so they have their own program where they're looking to prove that process improvement is something that UKRI should be doing. So they're doing their sort of first year or so of cohorts going through that and the processes that can be improved. The basics training generally can be accessed through Oracle Fusion through the training booking system. At the moment, it's available through a formal source. So you can either go there directly, there is a link to that within the slide deck, or just come to us, we're holding a waitlist for it so that we can get STFC staff through it as they need it. The yellow belt and the green belt, we also hold a waitlist for those. So as we have people come to us from different departments across the organisation saying that there are processes that they want to improve, we hold a waitlist for those. So they're running at the moment once every 3 to 4 months or so. So again, you come to us as a continuous improvement team and we can help advise you on what it is you want to what you want to do. The really important thing for us is that people get the right tools to improve the thing they want to improve. There's absolutely no point in going to this gold standard training if all you need is a quick fishbone or to have a look through to it works, and that's going to solve the problem that you want to solve. So do come and talk to us about whatever it is that you want to have a look at. We're happy to have a chat with you about what might be the best processes.
So is the basic training an online thing, or is it a tutor-led course?
It's half a day, and it's available on Teams, or we can get the if you want to train an entire local team, we can get somebody in a room for you, or you can attend the open courses, which is available from our networks.
And those trainings, are they used influence from UKRI or SPSC, or are they some external contractors?
The basics is offered by the UKRI team during this year's phase, where they're doing their demonstration of building a capability within the UKRI team. They're using external contractors for the LL approval. But should that program be successful, they will bring that in house. We'll have all of the capability for the Clean Six Sigma training and coaching where the people that will be, as far as I'm aware, free of charge to people who want to do that. But as you say, it's not asking the trio. So it's something when we say come to us to have a conversation about it, we want to make sure we're getting the right training, but we also want to make sure that whatever process it is you're looking to improve is supported by the business. So we'll be asking for a sponsor for that piece of work as well. So that's somebody within the business who maybe owns the process, or if it's your process, then it might be your line manager who's supporting you through that, just to give you that extra level of support. And for these ones up here, there is time involved in improving processes. So it's going to be the support that the business wants you to do this, to set aside time to do that so it's done. One of these should be things that take years and years to do. Our processes need to improve rapidly as the outside world changes around us.
Questions? Yeah, I think that was a very good overview. So now we are informed, we know that you exist, and it seems like it's a two-way process. So maybe we could be the niche initiators by identifying our day-to-day some more general problems and getting in a more maybe informal first contact with you and arrange a follow-up.
That would be fabulous, yeah. As I say, we're not best placed to know your processes,
yes.
We don't know how it is to work, so
yeah.
We can provide support with all of these things, but unless you know what you're doing, that's
good. Yeah, I think these examples were very helpful, and they were all specific for the group.
And I think if needed, you could also point us to the trainings.
Yeah, of course. So when you get the PDF Indico, so the PDF on Indico has all the links, so should be worth checking this morning. That should all be there, and yeah, the links to training. So we've got pages on the source that describe each of the modules and give you a rundown of what we take this on to the trainings as well. So you can find that on the Improve Institute Scene section.
But you mentioned Kieran and yourself.
Yes.
So who else are there?
Oh, so there's Kieran and myself within STFC, and then the UKRI team, there's three of them. So there's Robin Legg, who's the head of continuous improvement in UKRI, and she has two continuous improvement leads as well, who provide coaching and soon training as their full practice. So all people that you may come across. But we can, at the moment, we're working really closely with them to make sure that the training that they offer is appropriate for STFC staff as well. So not just process driven, not just the sort of the type of work that UKRI does, but also the lab based work, the engineering stuff that happens within STFC as well. So we've got really good links with them, and we're able to get access to the training because they have a bit of
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are they on Zoom?
I don't see any hands on Zoom, but we can continue over the lunch. So please join us if you would have some other questions. And let's close the seminar today. Thank you very much for joining.
Very much for having me.